This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. Kentucky voters get their chance next week to select candidates for the November general election. The state's primary is Tuesday. Much of the focus has been on the Republican primary for the state's U.S. Senate seat. Incumbent Mitch McConnell is facing a challenge from Tea Party favorite Matt Bevin. Joining us to discuss that contest and other statewide races on next week's primary ballot is Jack Brammer, who's the political writer and Frankfort bureau chief with the Lexington Herald Leader. You can join the conversation. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Coming up later this hour, we'll discuss primary election matchups in Northern Kentucky with reporters from The Enquirer. Again, if you have a question, 513-419-7100. And Jack Brammer, thanks for joining us on the phone from Frankfort.
I'm glad to be here. Looking forward to talking to you.
We discussed the Ohio primary election 2 weeks ago. Ohio's primary was on May the 6th, and the guest we had on then, I said, would people in Ohio know that there's a primary on May the 6th? And judging by the teens' turnout, most people either didn't know or chose not to know that there was a primary in Ohio. What about the mood in Kentucky? Are most people tuned in Kentucky to know that there's a primary coming up on Tuesday?
Well, there have been a lot of TV and radio ads, especially in the Republican primary for U.S. Senate, pitting the incumbent Mitch McConnell against Louisville businessman Matt Bevin. But I still don't expect the turnout will be all that great come next Tuesday. It'll probably be in the teens. Usually the presidential election years, you get the biggest turnout of voters. But for a primary like this, probably in the teens.
That's pretty amazing. I mean,
try that again, Howard.
that's pretty amazing, really, for a race where so much money has been spent, so much attention has come to it, you know, from all over the nation.
It has. It'll be bigger in the fall because you've got Democrat Allison Lindigan Grimes, the Kentucky Secretary of State, is the likely Democratic nominee. She has three other challengers on Tuesday, but they've been running limited campaigns. You also have a variety of other races going on in Kentucky and a lot of local elections, and sometimes races for sheriffs and county judge executives will bring out the crowd and may up the voter turnout. But I really don't expect it. I'd be surprised if it's over 20%.
When you first heard that Senator McConnell was going to be challenged by Matt Bevin, who, again, as we say, is favored by the Tea Party, what were your expectations about that race? And now that it's actually nearing an end, have those expectations been met or not what you thought they would be?
Well, you go back to the last U.S. Senate Republican primary in 2010, you had Rand Paul, a relative newcomer in Kentucky politics, but he was blessed with the political name of Paul, his father being Ron Paul, who ran for president several times and was a congressman from Texas. And he was running against Secretary of State Trey Grayson. Rand Paul won, and he'll acknowledge this, on a tidal wave of support from the Tea Party. So this year you had McConnell trying to do everything he could to stay in tune with the Tea Party. The Courier-Journal recently looked at his voting records over the last 20 years and have found him to become even more conservative in his voting patterns. And his opponent was Matt Bevin, a well-to-do businessman from Louisville who didn't grasp the title of Tea Partier, but did seem more in tune with the Tea Party standards and the Libertarian Party. And Bevin has been supported by the Northern Kentucky Tea Party, which is probably the most active Tea Party organization in Kentucky. Bevin's, first of all, has had low name recognition. So in McConnell, being in office since January of 1985, people in politics know him. So Bevin had to fight that. The question of money, you know that McConnell was going to be well-heeled in any campaign, and he's already got over $10 million for this race. So Bevin had some challenges. It was going to be an uphill battle for Bevin. And then also that in the initial parts of the campaign that there was a setback for Bevin is that U.S. Senator Rand Paul, the Tea Party darling, endorsed McConnell. And there were various reasons for that. Sometimes Paul had trouble explaining why he was endorsing McConnell. But if he wants to run for the presidency in 2016, he will need McConnell's support. So it was a marriage of convenience for both of them. So Bevin had an uphill battle starting. And since then, his campaign has reached several obstacles or major problems. He had a problem that on his resume he had included Massachusetts Institute of Technology, studying there, and that turned out to be incorrect. And then he was caught by a TV station, if caught's the right word, being present at a cockfighting rally in eastern Kentucky. And he first said that he did not know it was a cockfighting rally. And then the TV station in Louisville, Wave TV, had film where the speaker, right before Bevin spoke, was talking about this being a rally to legalize cockfighting in Kentucky. So McConnell pounced on that, and he's a master of defining his opponents and has run several ads that has garnered national attention. It's been the subject on the Colbert Report and the John Daly, the Daily Show, John Stewart, the Daily Show. And so Bevin has had some major problems in this campaign. And polls seem to be suggesting that he may get 25% of the vote come Tuesday. I've not seen one poll that shows McConnell losing the Republican primary.
When you talk about McConnell defining Bevin, didn't he do that right from the start, from the second that he announced? Wasn't he up almost immediately with an ad calling him bailout Bevin?
He did. McConnell, as I said, he is a master of this. He's been victorious in all his races since 1984, and he is just well known as linking his opponent to some type of problem, and usually it sticks. And so he's just been a master of that. A good question from this primary would be whether the disenchanted Republicans who don't like McConnell, will they come out and vote for McConnell in November, or will they just stay at home? And I think that'll be a big question after Tuesday's primary. What will McConnell do to be sure that the Republicans who've had a problem with him come out at the polls in November? He has a very high negative rating in the state, and he's been running against President Obama throughout the campaign. But the polls show that Mitch McConnell is more unpopular in the state than the president.
I had a conversation with Bevin earlier this week and asked him if he loses this primary, will he endorse McConnell? And I could not get a straight answer out of him.
So far not signed a pledge that the Republican Party officials asked both candidates to sign if they mm-hmm. would support the whoever is the Republican nominee. It's hard. He has spent all this time. He has spent almost $1 billion of his own money. And so he's just thinking win, win, win. So in a way, I understand when a candidate during the race is hesitant to say, I'll vote for my opponent. Because right now, to Bevin, Mitch McConnell is the enemy. Now, he may have a different answer come Wednesday morning after the results are in.
Well, I was going to... With this battle on the Republican side, it seems like Alison Lundergan Grimes has a pretty clear path to win on Tuesday. What does she want to see out of the Republican primary? I mean, I'm sure that campaign is pretty confident that they're going to be running against Mitch McConnell, but is there a percentage that perhaps they're looking for to show how damaged he is or could be?
I think if Bevin gets 40% of the vote, that would be highly embarrassing to McConnell. And I think Grimes would be delighted if Bevin got that high of a tally in the race. I think even almost in the mid-30s would be embarrassing to McConnell if Bevin gets that percentage of the vote. But the polls right now are trending about 25-28% for Bevin.
But it seems like recently, anyway, Bevin's spent a whole lot of time tearing down Grimes. You know, trying to saying she's not doesn't have the experience, isn't competent, isn't you know. And he's, when he was talking to me the other day, he talked almost as much about her as he did about McConnell.
Against her?
Yes.
Or his comments were against her. Well, you know, you've got to do that in case you know he is the winner on Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
so you throw those pot shots, you know, at the opponent. And so, but I don't think we're going to hear from him until after the Tuesday's vote on whether or not he will back McConnell in the fall. I don't advise political candidates, never would do that, but if he wants a future for the Republican Party, and should he lose Tuesday, I think he would be in more good grace with the Republican Party if he backed McConnell in the fall. But I don't know what his future political intentions are.
There's been a national conversation this primary through the primaries thus far about the establishment candidates versus the Tea Party candidates. And this time around, in most of the matchups, what you would consider the establishment GOP candidates have won these primaries. And there's also some talk about the candidates for the Tea Party have had visits in from Ted Cruz and Sarah Palin. Has any of that happened for Matt Bevin? Has he had any of that name recognition support from folks who consider themselves part of the Tea Party?
He has not, and that was something we were expecting. We thought it would certainly be a feather in his cap if Sarah Palin came to Kentucky and campaigned for him or any of the others you mentioned, Senator Ted Cruz. But that did not materialize, and I think that's when the analysts start looking at Bevin's performance in his campaign, that is something they say was lacking.
Do you see, I mean, what's your best guess about the voters who go to the polls Tuesday and vote for Bevin, and we assume that he loses the primary, what they do in the fall? Do they sit on their hands?
You know, there's a strong core of supporters for Bevin. I've noticed the Northern Kentucky Tea Party
right.
ran a half-page ad in the Courier-Journal this week. And so there are some people really, Republicans, really upset with McConnell. Now, they're going to have to decide if McConnell's the Republican nominee, and it looks like he's going to be, and if Grimes is the Democratic Party nominee, and it looks like she's going to be. It's not which one do I support, but which one would I rather not have in the U.S. Senate. And I think there will be some. I have no idea what percentage now that will just stay home in November.
Well, are there any other good – we talked a lot about the Senate races. Obviously, there's congressional races that are on the ballot. Are there any contested primaries around the state in the congressional matchups, or will those matchups all happen in November?
Most are in November. Kentucky has 6 congressional districts, and the one with the best primary, or at least a contested primary, is in the central Kentucky 6th district, and parts of that filter into northern Kentucky. But you have Democrats, 2 relatively unknown, Elizabeth Jensen. She's been a longtime education advocate in Lexington. She's a Democrat. And she's running against Jeff Young. He's a retired engineer from state government, been a political activist. And it looks like Jensen, both of those candidates are from Lexington, it looks like Jensen will win that Democratic primary on Tuesday. The winner in November will face Republican incumbent Andy Barr of Lexington, who 2 years ago knocked Ben Chandler, a well-known name in Kentucky politics. Barr knocked Chandler out of Congress. Up there in northern Kentucky, you have no contested primary, the incumbent, Thomas Massie, a Republican from Lewis County, in the fall will face Peter Newberry, an attorney from Harrison County, but no contested primary election there on Tuesday.
Would it be fair to say that in the six districts in Kentucky that the incumbents are in pretty good shape?
I think you can say, yes, in all six districts. It's rare when an incumbent from the U.S. House is defeated. But again, it happened 2 years ago to Ben Chandler, who had been in office for about 6 years, and he lost that to Barr. So it does happen, but it's usually the situation the incumbent wins.
With I know there's some a lot of local races for the state Senate and the Kentucky House, and Republicans in Kentucky have made I'm assuming to say a priority to win back to win the Kentucky House. How likely is that this go around?
I think it's going to be difficult. Right now, there are 54 Democrats, 46 Republicans. So if Republicans can gain five seats, they'll have the majority. But again, in the legislative races in the Kentucky House, the incumbents usually have the advantage. And I would be surprised that Republicans take control. But some of them are hoping, well, right now, if they pick up three seats, they'd be 49, just two away. And possibly it's been known in Kentucky history for some legislators to switch political parties. So there could be some pressure on some. The Republicans are gaining in this state. I was looking at voter registration figures, and they have almost in the last few years outgained Democrats on a 5-to-1 basis. So Kentucky is becoming more and more Republican. Usually in the federal elections, Kentucky goes with the Republican, and usually in the local elections, especially in the county courthouse races, it's still a Democratic stronghold.
If the Republicans did win the House and obviously keep control of the Senate, I would think that Rand Paul, that there would be another effort to allow him to run for re-election in 2016 and for president, which
absolutely.
Which
so I think that's where we'll see Rand Paul this summer and fall campaigning for Republican state House candidates. It would be a big change. That would be certainly a change. I think you would probably see more anti-abortion bills passed in the legislature. Right now, the Senate Republican chamber is passing the anti-abortion bills. They get stalled in the House. You'll see labor issues taken up if the Republicans gain control of the House, such issues as right to work and prevailing wage would be addressed. So it would be a major political shift because Republicans have not controlled the Kentucky House since 1921.
Since we don't want to just we always have to look ahead. 2015, Kentucky has a race for governor, and some candidates have already announced their intentions to run in that election. One of them is current Attorney General Jack Conway, who made his announcement, I believe it was last week, maybe in a YouTube video.
Yes, and his running mate is State Representative Sandy Overly. She's, of course, a Democrat from Paris and Bourbon County. It's an attractive ticket. Conway certainly has name recognition. He lost to Rand Paul in the 2010 U.S. Senate race. He says he's more mature now. He has money. He's well off. And so that's going to be an interesting ticket. There are some folks who say, well, it's hard for a candidate from Louisville to win the governor's race. There have only been just a few instances in our history of that occurring. And so Conway wanted to jump in quickly, and he has done that. We expect to hear from some more Democrats probably – within the month or so. I'm talking about State Auditor Adam Elin from Lexington. He's looking for a possible running mate. We had former Democratic State Auditor Crit Llewellyn, who's very popular in the Democratic circles in the state, say before Conway announced that she would not be running. Conway and Crit Llewellyn are good friends. Llewellyn's the godmother of one of Conway's daughters. So I think Conway is hoping that Crit will certainly endorse him. So we've got the Democratic, some Democratic candidates out there. Others are looking at are Ben Chandler. We've mentioned him as a former congressman. Daniel Mongiardo from Hazard, a former state senator. And lieutenant governor. So we're looking there. We already got one Republican, Hal Heiner, a Louisville businessman, in, and we've got State Agriculture Commissioner James Comer all but in. I really expect that Comer will announce.
Was it surprising? I think House Speaker Greg Stumbo had asked Democrats to hold off making their announcements until after the November election because he was focused on maintaining control of the House. It sounds like most Democrats are announcing. Are they thumbing their nose at Stumbo, or they just don't want to wait that long?
Well, they wouldn't say they're thumbing their noses, but they have to wonder, might he have another motive of doing that? After November, he will know if the Democrats keep control of the state House. And if they do, he's likely to be reelected speaker if he decides to do that. So some of the other Democrats are saying, you know, we need to get started. We need to get out there. We're still for Allison Lindeken Grimes. We'll work hard for her, but we need to start raising some money. And they think Stumbo is just saying that to he would be better off with the knowledge that the House still remains in the hands of Democrats. And we won't know that until after November 4.
And he clearly doesn't want to be minority leader, obviously.
No, I don't think he could stand that job.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But these gubernatorial candidates, I mean, the way governor's races go these days, you have to get started early.
You do. There's so much money, and people start picking sides, who they want to be with. And we have the coming up not too far away, the first Saturday in August is the Fancy Farm political picnic in far western Kentucky down in Graves County. And usually you know the lineup for the following year when that time comes. And that's when the media and many of the voters start focusing on next year's race. We'll also have this U.S. Senate race, which probably will garner a lot of national media to Fancy Farm this year, but Kentucky reporters will also be focusing on the governor's race of 2015.
That's the cattle call, Fancy Farm, for gubernatorial candidates, then.
You bet. Good way of describing it.
Just real quickly before we have to let you go, there was talk, maybe the last legislative session or the session before that, of actually moving the statewide office elections to even-numbered years so they would be happening when there are other contests on the ballot. And that stalled out. Is that pretty much a dead issue, or could that be revived at some point?
It could be revived. Right now it's pretty much a dead issue. But that has come up in the last few legislative sessions. I think it still will be debated, but it will be a struggle to get something like that passed.
We are talking today about next week's primary election in Kentucky. One race is the Republican contest for the U.S. Senate seat, now held by Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. He's facing a challenge from Matt Bevin, who has support from the Tea Party. Our guest for this segment of the program was Jack Brammer, political writer and Frankfurt bureau chief with the Lexington Herald Leader. Jack, thanks for joining us this afternoon. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up after a short break, we'll discuss local primary election contest in northern Kentucky. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.